Linda, thank you so much for sharing with us, both in the book and on the CD. You bring such unique perspectives. It was wonderful to listen to you share with us. Throughout the chapter that you just shared with us, was there anything that you didn't specifically address that you'd like to talk about?
There is, and when I went back and read my chapter in the book, it was so, what I wanted to talk about was so intrinsic in everything that I said that I thought I had mentioned it specifically, and then I realized that I hadn't. And it was something that happened the day of my rape. Because my faith was such an important part of my life, had been all growing up and into my 20s when I was raped, the first person I asked for after my mother and father was my pastor. And my mother called him. I lived in the same town as she did, and found out that he was out of town on vacation, and the person who was covering for him came to speak to me. And I later found out that this guy was absolutely terrified. He was straight out of seminary and didn't remember reading a book on how to react in this kind of situation. But he came to my parents' house and talked to me. And I asked the classic question that I think I would have predicted beforehand that I was too sophisticated to ask this question, but it was just a kind of a primal urge to know why this had happened to me. I said, why did God let this happen to me? I've been a good person. I didn't do anything to deserve this. And instead of trying to make sense of something that made no sense, I remember him just looking at me and saying, God didn't make this happen to you. There's a lot of evil in the world, and today you've come face to face with evil. And God is hurting every bit as much as you are. And I've held on to those words for so many years, first of all because they were so simple and yet so adequate to, I think, to describe the experience that I was going through. And it really was a point at which my faith was strengthened. And I didn't have to see myself at odds with a God who was punishing me for something that I never had done. I was able to see God as one of compassion and mercy and healing, and it really has affected my whole life in the way in which I've lived my life out since then.
And you went on to become a minister yourself.
Right.
Which is just a wonderful sign of what you just mentioned. Why did you continue to write and talk about the rape when it happened so many years ago? What's the motivation for continuing to do that?
Well, I think that a lot of people wonder about that, and some are bold enough to ask me outright, and some don't. There are several reasons. One, I think, is because my case was reopened after 16 years, it was like going through it all over again. So the past 6 or 7 years have been like the first years would have been if I'd had some resolution to what had happened to me. So in a sense, I've gone through two experiences of dealing with the aftermath of rape. But even if that hadn't happened, if I hadn't had the case reopened, I think one of the reasons I talk about the rape and write about the rape and am so open about it is I want people to know that the impact of rape is lifelong, that it doesn't go away, that the pain doesn't really lessen over time. We learn how to deal with it differently, I think, and learn how to integrate it into our lives. Also, I think that I really want to honor my experience. What happened to me was real. It had a tremendous impact on my life. It changed my life forever. And much in the same way that I would honor something good that had happened to me, I don't want to dismiss or downplay this terrible thing that happened, which has had a terrific impact on my life. And I also think that my perspective has changed over time, and I like to talk about how my perspective has changed and the things that I understand differently now than I would have understood immediately after the rape.
How did you, or what was your motivation for specifically wanting to be part of Voices of Courage?
Well, I had actually talked to people about what had happened to me, and I had been interviewed and had my words rewritten in a sense, or had somebody else share their perspective in their own words, but I had never really sat down and, in my words, written something out that would be shared publicly. And so that was a really important and turned out to be cathartic experience for me. But probably the most important reason is when I heard that this book was going to have firsthand stories and that all of them would be tied together by a thread of inspiration and hope, I knew I really wanted to be part of a project like that.
Well, and what do you hope that the readers take away from your sharing and the other survivors sharing throughout the book?
Well, I hope that they realize that survivors of sexual assault aren't strangers. They're not just these nameless people they read about in the newspaper or hear about on the news, that they are their brothers and sisters and neighbors and teachers and friends, and that they're real people who have gone through some horrific experiences. I know that the reality and the horror of sexual assault will be very evident in the book, but I also want people to know that healing is possible, even from something that seems to take away life, that new life can come. And that whether it's a survivor who reads the book and gets some kind of inspiration and hope for their own life, or somebody who loves a survivor and finds a way to support that person, I hope that, that everybody who reads it knows that healing is possible and that wholeness and new life can come.
Thank you so much, Linda, for everything. As we said before, from the book to the CD, from your own speaking out and making a difference, from both in your own case with from Congress to locally, it's just been wonderful to have you involved in this project. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great to be part of it.